good afternoon, or really good morning. It's just around 11:38 a.m. Mountain Standard Time here in Utah on, February the 25th, 2023, Boblimpdoc. Yes, it's February the 25th, 2023. Can you believe it, brother? February the 25th, you got the creepy crawlies. The bunctus meat is swallowing you whole, baby. I have an announcement to make to my listeners. Starting today and going forward, I'm making a change to the format of my podcast. Oh no, Dan, you're going to ruin it for us. Well, I don't know. I think it's going to get better because of it, but I also think it's going to change. It's not a very complicated change. The content itself will remain basically the same. The difference is, instead of having like a one-hour podcast made up of really a dozen other smaller podcasts, it would be more like doing the dozen podcasts, basically. And this would mean that it would be rare that a podcast would go over 30 minutes, probably even over 15 minutes. And it would also mean that I can appeal to a larger group of people, because the bottom line is, folks, a lot of people just don't have the time. And it's not that I don't think I can succeed at this. It's more like I have to try different things, and this is the next thing I have to try. Back in 2021, a person I didn't know said I should go on the radio. And I still think that's a great idea if I can find a radio that will let me talk. The problem with WRMI is it costs money. It costs a dollar a minute. And right now I'm just staying alive with the donations I do get, just trying to pay rent and buy food. So WRMI was great. I'm glad I tried it. We may end up going back there one day if we get the money. But right now we don't. You know, we don't have it at the planetary status report. But the bottom line is, by doing the format this way, I could still end up going to RMI and putting together segments as part of a show. Nothing prevents me from doing that. By doing the format this way, I can kind of give people options. You know, some of my stuff is more whimsical, and some of it's not. And, you know, if it seems like it's going to be serious, you can just, you know, I don't want to listen to this, Dan. And if it seems like it's going to be more whimsical, it's like, okay, Dan, I kind of like it. Thank you, baby. Yeah. Some people prefer the really long podcast, but I just got to tell you, if I'm going to be able to even attempt to succeed at this, I have to appeal to a wider audience. And a lot of people just don't have an hour or an hour and a half, or God forbid, some of my podcasts last 2 hours. And I can always go back and chomp them up and turn them into segments, because that's kind of how I've been doing them. And so it is congruent in that sense. A lot of people just don't have an hour. A lot of people just have about 10 or 15 minutes, and that's all they have. And I kind of have to deal with that as it is. The good news part of this is that it means I'll probably be doing podcasts at least once, if not two or three times a day. You know? And that's good news, because it means you have something to listen to. It means that if you want to update on what's going on in my crooked world, I can give you a crooked answer. So it's a good news, bad news kind of reality story. And it also sort of bundles into the idea of, as dark as I get sometimes, and I really do get dark, and it's just part of who I am, and I'm not going to apologize for it, I am also trying to do the thing as a Christian that you really are supposed to do, even if you are dark. And that is try to remember that the Lord is taking care of it. Try to remember that there is a plan. Try to have faith in that plan of the Lord. That is not always easy for a lot of us who want justice, who want instant karma, who want the world to be rectified, not to wait 50 years or 100 years, but to be rectified right now. But until kingdom come, until the day arrives that some of us get ushered into heaven early and the rest of us got to deal with some really hard stuff, we all got to make a living and try to survive in a rather crooked, broken world that I'm still surprised. Still surprised is functioning. But does that mean that I'm ready to give up? I mean, I don't know. There was about 5 minutes, as I've said. There was about 5 minutes on December the 19th, 2022, when I thought about giving up. When I thought the easiest thing was to take a combo plate of trauma, physical trauma, shock, and hypothermia, and just let Mother Nature do the rest. You know, at 0 degrees Fahrenheit, my age, my health, that broken humerus, and my general fucking attitude, I could have been dead in 15 minutes. Yeah. And I'm not trying to cringe people. I'm just being honest. I don't want to give up personally. I know a lot of people out there who have had a hard time, and it's not just recent. Can we just get that out of the way before I get into my one topic for this podcast and just deal with it? Because I know I bring it up, but it frustrates me. These trials that some of you are going through right now, a lot of people I know have been going through them continuously since the year 2007. Okay? For about almost 16 years. They have been dealing with the so-called world that people said, oh, but Obama was elected and everything got better. We fracked for oil and everything got better, you know, with ISIS and everything else. But for a lot of people during the Obama years, nothing got better. In fact, things got fucking worse for many communities, for many places. I talked about this in a podcast once called The Stranded Unconscious Skier. Because America, in my opinion, from about 2010 up until really 2019, for almost a decade, was this skier. You know, there's this dude, he lives on Mercer Island in Washington State. He makes a lot of money working for Microsoft or some other shitty company. And he's going to go skiing. He's going to go up skiing, he's going to do this evening skiing, this late evening, late afternoon skiing, because there's going to be an underwear model party at the chalet, and he'll hang out with underwear models and do cocaine and drink champagne. So he gets on the slopes, and he heads down the slopes, and he's just so good, and he takes a wrong turn, and he hits some fucking limb. It's late in the day, he's been drinking already. And he doesn't have a battle buddy. He doesn't have anybody with him. All of his friends are already with the supermodels because they're not stupid. And our good friend, let's call him Chad. Chad is in the snow. He is unconscious. He is slowly dying. I mean, with his nice, fancy Columbia outerwear, it'll probably take about 6 hours. But if nobody finds him, he'll be dead in 6 hours, maybe three. It really depends. Now, his body is slowly dying. His fingers are slowly suffering. His arms, his legs, it'll happen from the outside in. That's how hypothermia generally kills people. Your body will preserve the core. Your body will try to preserve the brain and your core organs. But as far as your fingers go and your toes go and your legs go and your arms go, your body will shut down what it needs to keep on going, to keep on going, right to the last fucking minute. A lot of, inside this skier's body, he's still in this weird dream state. Like, he's unconscious, but he actually thinks he's at the chalet. He's in an unconscious, weird dream state. He thinks he's at the chalet. He thinks he's drinking with all the underwear models. He's going to go have massively cool sex on a bed made of cocaine. Inside the head of Chad, everything is wonderful and great and juicy and lovely, and it's gonna go on forever because that's just how the world works now. Don't you know what Francis Fukuyama said? But over those 3 or 4 or 5 hours, maybe 6, his fingers die, his arms die, his legs die. And even though technically he's still alive, and even though he still could be saved, he's going to lose his arms and his legs. He might even lose his nose and his ears. In his head, he's hanging out with supermodels, underwear models. He's getting ready to have Mongo sex with an Ava Adams lookalike up in the hot tub, do the double dooley. You know, he brought his condoms. In his head, Chad is having the time of his fucking life, but he is in fact dying. That is the U.S. economy from 2010 to 2019. You had two economies. You had the real one, which was really slowly dying. For all the printed money, for all the quantitative easing, there were sinkholes that grifter money went into. And it really didn't go into shovel-ready jobs, okay? Oh yeah, they wasted some money on that. But do you have any fucking clue how many trillions of dollars you would need to fix all the bridges and all the roads and all the railroad tracks and all the dikes and all the canals and all the broken-ass shit that needs to be fixed in the United States of America? And the answer is, it would be so many trillions, it's just never going to happen. Ever. The reality is, the money they printed never went to the arms or the legs or the fingers or the toes. It went to keep the simulation going. It went to keep convincing Chad everything was okay. If you were Chad from 2010 to 2019, you made your 6 figures, the high-end 6 figures. You had your fancy-ass condo. You had a French bulldog named Squadro. And you had hooker wives and hooker girlfriends and hooker cocaine. And things were so fucking awesome. But frankly speaking, to all you fuckers out there, for most people between 2010 and 2019, things simply got worse. A person went from having one job to having 3 jobs. Never had it like that before. Now it was the new normal. And so you find a single mom or a single dad using crystal meth and then having a heart attack in the parking lot of their McDonald's job, which is the job they do after their Uber job, and right before their job at the slaughterhouse. That was 2010 through 2019 for most of the people out there. Okay, if you were one of the lucky people to live in the donut around Washington, D.C., or to live in any of the other crony complexes around Seattle or San Francisco or New York City, if you were within the direct flow of the golden shower coming from the Federal Reserve between 2010 and 2019, you were Chad. You were up there fucking underwear models. But if you were the rest of the people out there, there never was a good time. There was no Obama recovery. And that's kind of my long-winded way of saying to you fuckers that if you just arrived at the stressed-out party of unemployment and being broke and poor, as Bruce Willis said, you know, welcome to the party. You know, welcome to the fucking party. Thank you. Remember that Die Hard movie with Bruce Willis back in 1987 where he says, "Welcome to the party"? If you just found out that you have no money and that your home's going to get repossessed in a couple months and you're going to lose your, not repossessed, the house, the bank takes it. They're going to repossess your Tesla. If you just found out that your financial economic life is imploding, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. I don't care if you call yourself a liberal or a conservative. Welcome to the fucking party. Most of the people I know have been there since at least 2007. So welcome to the party. And we all want rectification, but the question is, how do you rectify? There's a story of an ancient warrior. There's a story of an ancient battle. There's a story of an ancient soldier dying on the field. He died there as his wife watched him die. His name was Grimble. This hero's name was Grimble. He fought against the Assyrians. He fought against the Atlanteans. He had an ancient submarine powered by Greece love. But Grimble was slain. Grimble was destroyed in that battle. Grimble was torn to pieces by horses and dogs and cats. Grimble was mashed up by battle elephants and really a rhinoceros or two, because they loved to use those too if they could train them right. You could ride a rhinoceros. You could ride yourself a water buffalo. You ride yourself a hippo. You're going to scare the fuck out of people. So Grimble sleeps. Grimble sleeps in the mountain cave. Grimble sleeps where all the old timers died. Grimble sleeps as the whiskey ages and all the birds fly willy-nilly to their destination someplace across the globe. Grimble sleeps. He sought justice. He sought a better world. He was fighting for the little guy just like you and me, but Grimble sleeps in that ancient cave and that ancient mountain so far, so long ago. And we await Grimble. We await Grimble. We say, "Wake up, gentle Grimble. Wake up, gentle Grimble. Wake up, our friend. You've been asleep for 7,000 years. Come forth, gentle Grimble. Come forth. Bring justice. Bring hope. Bring us laughter, Grimble. Bring us tears." Build your castles made of wax. Unto the realm give your blood oath. Unto your lover give your stream. Make your river a valley of whores. Arise, pedestrian king. Reclaim your kingdom among the freaks. Stand up, tornado knight, and bear the light breath of life for the Strogan folk, and make sure you protect their sheep. Fire up your furnace and cast aside the old dogs of war. Replace pink sprites with metal and kettle and knife and pie. Open your eyes, wise Grimble. Take note of the time and usher forth the flames and tremble. If you walk the earth for 7 years, you can make amends for those old crimes. Crimes of tasty blood. Crimes of malady. Crimes involving the overcoming of fruit guilt. Dear gentle Grimble's going keto. Stand fast, old beast, and wave your hands about. The DeLorean freaks will stride over wasteland cities, and the bejeweled harlotry will herald an age of stink beetle pizza. Your mind will slice through the bullshit and reveal the inner core of disturbed angel sands. Your kite spirit unites the 77 demon worlds and opens a portal to the newest and most fantastic of amazing places. They have great schools. Oh, fine, dear Grimble. Your mind on fire with grief rage. You remember the time of broken-hearted living when the cavemen women wrapped themselves in steel cotton and the grease merchants sold dolphin slab by the gallon to nasty old truckers. Your fist will beat down the failed crap heads, O Grimble. There are no words for you, generous Grimble. You give of your flesh sauce, and no monster will halt your guile, will halt your danger. You give of your flesh sauce, and no monster will halt your guile. No monster will cease your danger. Your plan for us is wise, and our workers have begun fashioning the stone. Our astronomers see the heavens and gaze too deeply into doom paintings. Dear Grimble, hear your sullen people. My Grimble, come home. Dear Grimble, hear your sullen people. My Grimble, please fucking come home. A fire shall burn, and the hog dwarfs will play. A cannon shall boom, and the cougar wench will be lost to the swill. A lion will roar, and the Kelmer monks will learn to hunt grease weasel and eat black pear pie. And you, dear Grimble, will ride high on the wheel throne hound. A time of testimony will arrive, when the 17 hooker wives will give their word to the throng. Judged for heresy, the Grand Duchess will ungudulate herself while tinctulating her boobula. A sly jester frolics nearby, high on PCP and stale cocaine. And our Grimble is ready. They will cower before your strength. They will cry and wail at your approach. They will be heard saying, "The Grimble approaches, hide the busty women and the beer." But nothing remains hidden before the Grimble. He is the caretaker. He is the soul reliever. He carries the lost sins. The Grimble is the sauce. How many 8 balls of cocaine have I had waiting for you, my loving Grimble? Am I simply a plaything of the gods being tossed about by fate like some meth head loser that can't stop thinking about Lay's plain wavy potato chips? Will the wizard steal my robot arm to kill you? So we still wait despite feeling the quaking earth. We still hunger despite hearing your steps, the crushing force of your giant flaming iron feet. Those giant iron feet burning and squashing the ground in the distance. We hear you, Grimble, but you're way out there, baby. We prepare the great offering of Norman Borlaug stew and diabetes goo. And much more, dear Grimble. We wait as space ghosts, covered in dingus brine. We wait as heroes, sitting up on our swords. We wait as hooker queens, with steel-bearded rage. Way down there, and you know where. Steel-bearded rage, you know. Hooker queens. South America. You know what I mean, baby. We wait and smile and worship and build statues of our friend Grimble. We wait amongst the succulents and the vibration, amongst the wheel of time and the music, we wait and we are patient, old Grimble. And one day he, old Grimble, he'll show up with fists of titanium and he'll take us the fuck home. There you go, folks. We can hope and pray that people come to their senses, but I think it's too late. I think it's game over. It doesn't mean it's the end of the world, brothers and sisters, but whatever's waiting for us is not a soft landing from our good friend Chairman Jerome Powell. What's waiting for us is not the 1970s revisited. What's waiting for us is neither hyperinflation nor stagflation, nor any of those things that we think will be waiting for us because we hope they are. What's waiting for us is the Grimble. And the Grimble stands 500 feet tall and has fists of glowing titanium. And these are glowing, sharp fists of titanium that when they come down and touch you, you instantly catch fire, but if you don't, he'll just slice you in half. Grimble's coming, baby. Are you ready?